blue button.
What? You want me to press the red button? That says send broadcast. Button. Is that the one you want me to touch? Because I touched the other one.
I just
you know, it sounds dirty
like
when you say you're touching it like that.
Yeah.
Well, how else would you like me to caress it?
Punch it.
No, I was just thinking, how are we going to reboot the brain? How do you reboot the brain? I know they're talking about using ketamine for that. I know psilocybin has some portion of that effect. I had the thing that I did, so I can't even remember what it's called now.
It's called a car wreck.
ECT?
Oh, that was different. Yeah, ECT. Well, not electroshock therapy, but yeah, not electroconvulsive therapy. Okay. It's the magnetic stuff. I can't remember what it's called now. No, it doesn't matter. I think car wrecks may reboot brains, but I'm not really sure. I'm still stumbling over my words at this point.
So why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about, Paul, because most of them won't know.
Probably not. I drove home from my parents on Sunday, and I've been having a lot of bad lung days with coughing. And so most of the way home, I had a coughing fit, and I saw stars and went, okay, I'm right next to home. I forgot my inhaler. I'm right next to home. And the next thing I know, I'm in a tree, or my car's in somebody's garden, but I haven't figured that out yet. I'm asking people where my wife is and why my car is broken and isn't moving and everything else. So I had a coughing fit so hard that I knocked myself out, essentially. So I went ragdoll and hit a ditch and then hit a tree. Probably because there was a ditch there is the only reason I'm still alive. But I managed to survive all that with massive contusions in places and not much else. So
show them your shoulder.
I don't want to show them my shoulder. It hurts. It's a boo-boo. It's just a boo-boo. So I got that up and down where the seatbelt hit my sternum and it hurts to breathe and talk. But I'm here. Hey. So I got checked out. I got to go see a specialist to rule something out. But I'm on new inhalers and everything else. And we're going to try and make sure that this doesn't ever happen again.
Yes. We do not want a sequel of that. Thank you very much.
V and I have already been talking about starting a GoFundMe to replace your car with a unicycle and bagpipes.
Yeah, I think it might get to that because, this car situation is not looking good. So if you want to support the podcast as well as help Paul buy a new car, stay to the end where I give that information or just buy some goddamn books. That was my Sunday, last Sunday. I've had better Sundays. So this week I got very little writing done because I was
slacker.
I was ordered to behave myself. And recover. So I spent very little time sitting here and trying to write, but I did spend a lot of time reading. And no, you do not want me playing the bagpipes, trust me. So I read two books that I wasn't working on at the time to go back and get up to speed on them. And then I came back and started working on Neptune Scars. And if I could just finish this fucking battle, I will have this book done.
How long is that battle scene now?
35,000
words. That's a third of a novel. You know that, right?
As long as you don't hit like 62,000, you're okay. If you hit 62,000, we're going to have an intervention.
Oh, well, it's complicated.
62,000, what exactly is that? Is that some reference to something else you've run into, V?
That's the longest chapter I've had to narrate.
Chapter?
Holy moly.
Fucking chapter? That's what is that? 125 pages? One chapter?
So it was during Secret World Chronicle. It was part of the podcast. So I think it probably got narrowed down with the editor because whatever got into the podcast was just straight from whatever we collabed on and then went through. But I think it took like 9 separate. It was like part 1, part 2. We got to part 9. Never had to go into double digits, but yeah, I was like, really? I love my co-authors, but can someone please find an editor? So yeah. So you're not at that yet. You're fine.
Well, when I get done with this, we'll see what I can cut. But I've got 5 or 6 points of view running around, and that's kind of an issue because there's a lot of stuff going on. I can't explain it without ruining it, so I won't do that. Oh, thank you, Tim. So I'm looking forward to finishing this book because it's close, and I'm already started recording it for the patrons. They're going to get their first episode this week. Assuming my voice cooperates, I'll be reading some more of that and going through it as part of the editing phase. And then we'll find out if it actually has a publisher. And if it doesn't, then we'll know that too. So that's my life. What the hell have you two been up to?
Nothing that exciting.
Why not? Everybody needs a car wreck. I mean, come on.
Pass.
You're going to pass on that?
What about you, V? What have you been up to? What have you been hustling? I see you're up there hustling. What is that about?
Oh, that's because so I delivered one finished book to an author. So they are listening to it and letting me know if there are any changes that they want made. But it was fun. And I had a contract, but I wound up canceling it because the more I got into the script, it was kind of clear that I was not going to be the best fit for the book. It's one of those things where I narrate certain types of books, and there's a wide breadth, but it's a certain type, and while I've got a good range for male and female characters, the more I went through this first book, it was clear that there were a lot of male characters, and the book itself was probably going to be served better by a male narrator. Especially when you've got a book that is the first in, I think the author planned it to be like a 7 or 9 book series. And when you do that, you want to make that first book pop. And you don't want to have that mismatch turn off your audience. And for somebody who hasn't put anything into audio before, I would feel poorly. I would be a bad professional if I was like, oh, I'll do it for the money. If it was like, yeah, I'm not the best fit. I would much rather say, you know what? Let's, you know. What is it? Cut bait?
Yeah.
Just cut ties. And it's like, let's, you know, cut the contract. I can post the job to see if we can find another narrator. I don't know of anyone who would fit this right now who isn't working. You could take the contract, but I can certainly put the word out. And thanks very much. I wish you the best, but I'm probably not the best fit for this. So yay for morals and yay for ethics, but
boo.
That's
boo for bottom line.
Boo for bottom line. I've been doing a lot of that lately.
So,
Fine.
I'm working on getting more projects, and I'm working on my mailing list.
Yay! I'll be doing that too.
Yay! So, I've been contacting authors for whom I've worked with and saying, "Hey, so do you have a reader magnet that you'd like narrated? Because I'll do it for free if it's within so many pages, with the caveat that I can use it and distribute it for free through my mailing list, and then they can distribute it for free through their mailing list, and it's never sold." So,
yeah, you and I need to have a conversation after this show because I forgot to talk to you about this last week.
Yes, we do, because I have one. I have one that I've – and so I was prepping that this week, and it's one of my – it's another space opera deal, which I love. And it's an awesome, kick-ass female lead. So I'm like, yes, I get to go back and play with this character. Because why not? So yeah, that's been my life right now.
Cool. That's awesome.
So Terry, tag you.
I had a timing belt break last week. So I've been dealing with Uber all week going around. Luckily, I have the type of engine in my truck that is not damaged by having the timing belt break. And how do I know this? Because I've owned this truck long enough that this is the second time the timing belt has broken.
Terry actually bought this truck when NASA was founded. It's been handed down for generations at this point. But now it's stuck with Terry. He's stuck with it. It will never leave him. It is
It's paid for. It's never going anywhere.
It's his familiar. It is basically his familiar at this point. So
it's too bad it's a standard, you know, because I would have really liked to have been stuck with a car that was an automatic.
Mm.
Nevertheless, I've had this vehicle.
Christine, because you might never hear about it.
I'm pretty sure I'm never going to get rid of it. I'd owned it for 23 years now, so I'm pretty sure that I'm stuck with it.
Well, I wasn't planning on getting rid of my CRV, but kind of matters went out of my hands there down, didn't they?
That they did. Let's see. On the writing front, I think I'm at almost 80,000 words in this novel. I've mapped out the remaining 7 chapters, at least in my head. And so I see where the book is going, and I'm ready to wrap it up in the next week-ish, get that sucker done. Get it to where I'm reading through and editing it, because I've got to turn it over to the actual editor by the end of this month. Got to get her done.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things going on, but we'll talk about that when the show actually gets to the main topic.
Wouldn't that be now?
Could it be now?
I mean, is that a segue? It's not the clumsiest segue we've ever done, but it's close. It's close.
Well, I'm about to turn in book 8 in a 15-book series.
Good God.
And the publisher wanted to talk with me about the next series, even though that's a year and something away.
Well,
it makes sense to do that. But the first conversation, the conversation started off with, like, want to go ahead and, you know, hold off until 2 books are written and then get them rapidly released. And I'm like, I don't like gaps in my publishing, because that means gaps in my income. So we started talking options. And we planned out what we could do with extending the release schedule for the remaining books in this series to build up that space. So I'll finish writing this series before it's published by a chunk, and have time to get an extra two books done. And so that way it's not going to impinge upon the regular release schedule that's critical for an author that wants to maintain a relatively stable income. But there was a little back and forth discussing, you know, what things could work, what things will work for the publisher, what things will work for the author, and finding a path forward that left everybody satisfied that they're on the right course. And I still have an Empire book that I want to write. I'm not done with that series, but I've got to shoehorn the time in to write it. I've already told the patrons on my Patreon that I'm going to be doing it this month. So I'm committed. Got to make it happen. It feels busy, but I don't feel overwhelmed, because the publisher was willing to work with me to address my concerns. I'm one of those people that I get very nervous when it comes to matters of finances. I've been basically homeless before. I would not want to repeat that. And when money starts being an issue, I start getting nervous. And that causes me problems emotionally, and that ruins my productivity. And so I would much rather avoid all of those things and have the plan mapped out and be working it.
That's why I'm planning bank robberies. Figure out, you know,
and take your inhaler.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're gonna need another getaway driver, because clearly,
see, that's a story in and of itself, right? The bank robber is a diversion to violence. It has a syncope event, a vasovagal syncope event right there during the robbery. How could that not be the most awesome thing ever?
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and write the bank robbery scene with a person with multiple personalities. Only one of them wants to rob the bank.
Oh, dear God. You know, I try to stay away from multiple personalities because they're so cliche at this point. It's really hard in my mind to make a good book with that conceit now.
I totally disagree with that. And one of the reasons that I do is I was having a conversation with someone about what I write. And I said, and they were talking about cliches and things like that. And I was like, everything I write is a cliche. Literally, everything I write is a cliche, But the goal is to make those cliches fresh, to make them mine, to do those conceits in a way that serves my story and my audience approves of. But I'm rehashing everything I've ever read when I write. So that's the way it is.
You are just a walking pulp magnet. You are just nothing. I mean, the orange juice just drips off you. You're so pulpy.
Orange juice. Ooh.
What? Pulpy orange juice. But that's the same strategy that romance authors use.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying it works across genres. People are drawn to certain books and certain authors because they appreciate the predictability and the comfort in that. You know, says the person who was having a lousy day because her schedule got wrecked on Wednesday. And I pretty much was like, well, I'm not going to accomplish anything.
Fuck this day.
So, pretty much. So I was like, I'm going to make myself a cup of coffee. I'm going to go crash out on my bed. And there was a new release by a romance author who I really like and who I'd met in Vegas. And I'm like, oh, her book came out. I'm going to go lose myself in hockey. Thank you. And promptly did that. And a couple hours later, I felt much better. But it's because I knew I wanted a nice happy ending with a couple tropes and, you know, really, really bad puns on coffee drinks. I got
you wanted
what I
a comfort
wanted.
Read. You wanted exactly. the comfort read. You wanted the popcorn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that I think that exists in every genre. Every genre has authors and books that are that good, comfortable, predictable, tropey read. And that's okay. I mean, yeah, you can sit back and call what's going to happen when you see the trope coming a mile away. It doesn't make it any less awesome.
It's like I talked about Cocaine Bear.
They're doing a sequel, Rehab Bear.
No, the fuckers that make Sharknado are putting out Meth Gator this summer. I'm not shitting you. I'm not kidding. I'm waiting for Mushroom Moose personally, but I think that's probably going to be too mellow for most people.
Are you going to get like Fentanyl Flamingo?
True Sloth. Oh, don't say shit like that. It hurts. It hurts.
Or what else?
No, cut it out. My point was with Cocaine Bear, Brent and I were trying to tell J.R. Hanley, Cocaine Bear, or why Paul E. Cooley wrecked his car. Right. We were talking to John, my friend John, last night, and we both said the same thing, which is if you turn off your brain, you'll have a good time. If you try and insert any amount of reality in this, you're going to have a very bad time. And unfortunately, I think somebody at the theater expected this to be a serious movie. I mean,
someone went to Cocaine Bear thinking it was going to be serious. That's like going to a Deadpool movie and expecting to be like, you know, like the next Dark Knight movie. Not really.
So anyway, what I'm getting at, I watched a really terrible horror movie this morning, horror sci-fi, called Breach. It's one of Bruce Willis's last movies he made, I guess, when he was making like 20 of them a year. It had so much promise, even as pulpy and schlocky and horrible as it was. But there was a point where I was just like, yeah, I'm done here. I'm fucking done. And I watched it for the next 2 minutes just because I knew what the fucking thing was going to be. And I just had to be there and look at it and go, I hate you. You suck. And kill the movie. It's pretty sad. Pretty bad. Very sad. Did I ever get my hearing aids fixed? Yes. The left one is fixed. And the warranty runs out, I think, this month. So we'll see how well that works out.
You know, if you had hit your head hard enough against the top of your car, you might have been able to cover it under warranty.
No, I would have tagged that on my car insurance, right?
That's what I meant.
My hearing aid. Oh, I need a new hearing aid. You know, why weren't you with me when all this was going down? Why weren't you telling? All right, Paul.
Because I don't like being in car wrecks. So there.
My wife didn't either, even though she had never been in the car. I was a little confused. What in the fuck were we talking about before?
Your hearing aid and getting your car insurance to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hearing aids are fixed. Thank Christ. Coke Bear NATO. Yeah. Coke Bear NATO. Meth Gator NATO. Meth Gatornado. You were talking about Jelly Gatornado. Now we got Meth Gatornado.
No, if it's Gators, it'd be Jelly Gatorcane. Or Meth Gatorcane.
Well, you know, Gators are in water.
Exactly.
Maybe we should go ahead and do this. And sit. You've already got the NATO thing. Why can't it be Meth Gator Spout? You know, it's the water spout thing.
Because, fuck you, Terry.
Or, oh, no, then you'd have so you'd have the Mushroom Moose Blizzard.
You know, that totally sounds like something I should order at the DQ real fast.
I hate you both so much right now. Fuck, stop that shit.
I'd feel bad, but...
As you should!
No, I went through... So, again... Sorry, I'm being interrupted.
Uh-oh. That's never good.
It's a baking thing. Baking is about to start.
No, I apologize. I do have to run and check something in the kitchen.
Uh-oh.
So I'll be right back.
Wait,
I can hear everything
you're
saying.
Goes her alarm. Wah, 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 wah.
She's not going to burn down the house.
Give her a chance.
You know, I don't think that's giving the child enough credit. I think that there could be a house burning.
I just don't think they're trying hard enough. Meth Gator versus Sharktopus. Is there really a Sharktopus thing out there? Y'all are going to have to, like, I'm not up on my ridiculously horrible, awful, pulpy, cheesy-ass cryptid movies.
We had an apartment here. Doc tossed this out. Should the fire alarm be going off, Mom? Well, we lived in an apartment, my wife and I. It had a fire alarm right next to the little kitchenette, and it was sensitive. If there was any, you know, smoke coming out of the kitchen as in things were frying on the stove, it could sometimes set it off. It would go off and everybody in the apartment would go, "Dinner's ready." She did not appreciate this.
Ours went off because of the steam from the shower. You'd open up the bathroom door and the steam would hit the fire alarm and it would go off every goddamn time. It's ridiculous.
Nope. No, nothing is burning. She has a theater show this afternoon, and she wanted to bring stuff for her. She's the stage manager, and she wanted to bring stuff for her techies in the booth. And evidently, the baguettes that I make, they all love the bread. And I'm like, it's just bread. I'm like, no, you have to bring it. So she had to know when the baguettes were done to be pulled out of the oven so that she could brush them with butter and let them cool. So my house smells like freshly baked bread. I'm not mad about it.
Well, I know what you're going to be nomming on later.
Yeah, and there's spaghetti sauce in the crock pot.
Ooh.
And so, chocolate cherry scones.
Ooh. I'm coming to your house.
I'm a walking trope on that. I will own that. I will bask in my domestic goddess badassery.
I'm not going to ask Paul about his long-term planning because who wants to get into that, you know, that show? Because, it's going to be terrible when we get there. It's going to be like watching one of those reality television shows where everything goes wrong. Who wants to do that? I like that look he's giving me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember the name of the reality star whose life was a train wreck and she eventually got herself killed, but I can't remember her name.
Anna Nicole?
That's the one. It's like it's a train wreck like the Anna Nicole show was.
That was... She had a lot more going on even.
So that's Paul's, you know, planning for the future as far as scheduling and other things. But I'm going to go to Veronica because we need a breath of sanity for planning before we go to the crazy.
Right, because I'm the one that has like three calendars right behind me.
Obviously, you plan. It's right there on the wall.
Yeah, I know. It's right there on the wall. Right there. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm gonna take off points because it does not say evil next to it. It needs to say evil plan.
Why in the world would I disclose that to everyone? Then I can't sneak up on them.
No, it makes it even. It's a double blind feint because they'll think you're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Because what evil person would possibly name their plan evil plan?
Dr. Evil?
Dr. Evil's a doof. It's about the derpiest supervillain that exists out there, besides maybe the Monarch.
Nope. You've not lived until you've seen the villain that is Dr. Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb, which you kind of have to watch if you have kids, but it's written with some really, really smart humor in mind, so.
All right. Regardless, anyway. Tell us about your plan, your marvelous calendars, your spattering of organizational crazy behind you. It's an erotic amoral plan. How about that?
I mean, basically, I have to plan because I am responsible for smaller people in my house. And sometimes their stuff takes priority. So if I need to plan to record a book or to make time to write or to do any other creative venture, a lot of times those are things I have to fit around stuff.
Right.
And so my planning is often done by saying, I need to finish this project. But at the same time, when this project finishes, these are the other six things that are going to be going on in the sphere around it. How do I make this work? So a lot of my planning, my work days often have to be planned on a split schedule where I don't have a block of time that is, you know, your standard 8 to 5, 9 to 5, because middle of my afternoon, I have to go retrieve children. They're older now, but that often just means if I'm working on something, can I bring it with me? Can I go sit and work on the writing, you know, at the bowling alley? Can I bring it in the car with me to review while I'm waiting in the carpool line? And then, you know, even with recording the stages of a project, what days am I going to be prepping? What days am I going to be recording? How long do I have to wait for pickups? And I tend to plan in quarters. That the bigger calendar on the bottom, that's a full year.
Really?
And yeah. And it uses the transparency machine markers. Tell me you're a Gen X, you know, Zennial.
Without saying you're a Gen X.
Yeah. Transparency markers. So, but like on that, I've got the stuff that I know I have to plan around. I have to plan around kids' school. I have to plan around AP exams. I have to plan around family vacations. 20 books is on there because I ain't missing that. And then planning around, you know, bigger stuff in the summer. And that gets blocked out of, this is super important. You cannot work during these times, or work cannot take priority in those areas. Then, you know, it's how long is the project going to take? If I'm working with somebody, it's even more important to plan things out. So, and you're constantly revising too, because stuff comes up.
Yeah.
It's the, oh, well, that's right. I have to follow up for an eye appointment. Oh, you're old. You have to go to see somebody else, and it's going to take half a day. Or, oh, they don't have this person in your town or your county. You have to drive, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, hour and a half.
To go see a specialist.
Here. Right. And then drive back. What about planning the plans? Strangely enough, Dean, that is reserved for Sundays because I do have, no, I'm not kidding. I have a written planner and I draw up the planner. So, because it's like a focus meditation thing, and I write everything up and I check with my email. I mean, I am to the point where I've gotten everybody else in the house to, JR, I will scheduling a spontaneity. So keep in mind, I actually...
It's Russian. They can't crap without a schedule.
Oh my gosh, you people. One of the things I did teach in higher academia was like time management and planning. And one of the things people would always ask about is, well, do I plan my free time? You don't necessarily plan your free time, but you need to know when it is, so that you can stop working and have your free time. Or you know that when you hit that block, you're done for the moment. So, like, if I know that 8 o'clock in the evening, I don't have any other meetings, I'm sorry, I'm going to go sit and play video games.
Sounds like a good plan.
That's just, that's it. And I, you know, and if something else is planned, or if I've got an evening meeting, I'm sorry, I'm done by 9:30 because I'd like to sleep at some point. And you might be up early later.
Just remember, you can't be crazy enough to run the pre-meeting meeting without having a meeting to discuss what's going to happen in the pre-meeting meeting.
Oh,
that's
God.
Email. And if y'all can't, if it takes an email chain of like 20 emails to get something set up, somebody can plan it without me. It is not that important. And I speak from experience having run into this at NASA. I do too.
You remind me of consultants. Oh my God. Consulting companies, you have to have the pre-meeting for the pre-meeting to the meeting. And then you have to have the post-meeting and the post-post-meeting.
Yeah. So you do have to like plan things, but everybody needs to come. If you're working with multiple people, then the expectation needs to be everybody comes in having done their homework. And if you haven't, if you're working with a co-author or you're working, like you're meeting up with, you know, someone who's going to do your book cover or you're talking to your audiobook narrator, then it's the, you either prep and you know that when you have that time that's blocked out to work, you focus on that. And if not, you're wasting each other's time. And if you're not prepped, you cancel. And I'm not very popular because I've done that with people. And they're like, well, but we need this time. It's like, I'm sorry, I have other things to do. My time is valuable. And if you don't do that, then you're going to lose that time that you need to write.
Yeah, that's the issue. At some point, somebody tries to wrangle you into whatever they're doing, and that looks cool and everything. You'd love to do it, but there's just no way it can be done. Because there's no slots. There's no way you can possibly, get away from it.
Yeah.
It's just there's sometimes you just got to say no, unfortunately. Yeah.
You can't say yes to every anthology or every collab or every, you know, really cool idea that comes around. And even if you're like, this sounds really neat, what do you have planned so far? And if they're like, well, we wanted you to come in on that. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm out.
I've played that game, and no, I don't want to anymore.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. So you were a heavy, heavy planner is what you're telling us.
Yeah, dude. Yes, if I had my... Darn it, my other bag is not in my office. I'd have my planner and I'd show. But yeah, I've gotten to the point where I've told the other people in my house, if I don't have a calendar invite, it doesn't exist. So, like, but that goes for the kids. So there's a calendar invite for every single after school thing. And it's not me putting it together. It's, oh, you want to stay after school for this certain thing and I've got to change transportation. You're going to go into your Gmail account. You're going to create the calendar invite and send it to me. Because I'm sorry, if you can run around on Instagram and Snapchat, you can create a calendar invite. But they do.
Well, good.
And it works. So when one of them has to go to work, I was like, you checked your work schedule? Yeah. Is it on my calendar? Oh, no. Pulls the phone out, puts the appointment in, goes
That's
through.
All awesome until you put it on the wrong calendar, which I have done lately, and my wife never saw that was there. And so, yeah, it was a problem.
Yeah, luckily they messed that up a couple times, and I said, no, you use this email address, and if you don't use that email address, I don't see it. I am not going to go hunting for it.
You do not exist. Your request does not exist. I do not.
It's not on calendar. It does not exist.
There we go.
Oh, you're looking for that accent?
That was the accent I was hoping to hear.
That was the accent.
I love it.
It's not Sean Connery. It's this.
No. It sounds good as opposed to whatever the fuck it was he was trying to speak.
So, Paul, let's discuss this planning that you say you do.
Was this planning? Planning for me more chaos than actual plan. Is very hard to...
Maybe you need more vodka.
Probably need more vodka. It's probably. I can't do Russian. Fuck that.
Neither can I. Yeah, there we go.
No, you did a better job than I did.
Go ahead. Tell us how bad it was.
Go ahead.
We're
go
ready. Ahead.
She hasn't heard me try to do Australia to New Zealand for Oceania. When she hears that shit, her head's going to explode. Continue.
Oh, dear God. I was actually talking about Australian accents. What were we doing? I was walking around the grocery store and something about like getting food. And I looked over at the teenager and I went, fish are friends, not food. From Nemo. And whenever you get into accent, you want to have a good like line. I was like, that's actually a really good one. And so I'm the mom who's walking through Publix going, fish are friends, not food. Fish are friends, not food. And he tries to do it. Oh, it was so bad. I was like, no, that's like, you can't drawl. You're being lazy with yourself. Like, Mom, I don't want to hear it. I don't do accents. I want to do engineering. Okay. Just whatever. But
as Veronica tells us, don't give up that writing career.
Write the words. You don't have to say them out loud.
That's right.
So last night I heard a good one, which was, I got to say this here. We'll see what context you guys can do with this.
Tomorrow night, I better be full of meat and covered in sauce.
Sounds like a party. Pretty sure that a handy wipe is not going to be enough.
What kind of kink parties are they hosting in Texas?
This is somebody talking about eating ribs.
Like I said.
Full of meat, covered in sauce. There you go. I just wanted to see where everybody's heads were going to go.
Since we went down this road, I'm going to have to go ahead and bring this anyway.
Oh, no. We're never going to get back to planning.
But I chanced across a necklace that had a picture of a Spartan on it. And I've been considering getting a tattoo for years, but I've never found anything that speaks to me in the way that I was that interested in it. This tattoo, this piece of art may actually lead to something based on it being a tattoo. But while I was doing that, I was trying to find other images, and I chanced across the marriage rituals that the Spartans used. And it was eye-openingly different than what we have today. That the bride would be shaved bald at the wedding and dressed in a cloak so she could be snuck into the barracks, because Spartan men lived in the barracks with only men until they were 30. So to sneak a woman in, you had to, at least from a distance, look like a man. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So everybody just said, oh, there's that. Okay. That's not a woman. That's not, we're just going to all pretend.
Everybody, it's make-believe. It's a way to pretend that you're not seeing what you're seeing.
The bed bouncing up and down and smell all that crazy going on. And we're going to pretend that that's not happening either. Right.
Yeah, pretty much. Now the part that I thought was funny was at least one place had an incorrect interpretation of why this was that they did this. And it was lambasted by everybody else that saw it. And that incorrect opinion was that the women shaved their heads so they could help transition the men from a homosexual lifestyle to a heterosexual lifestyle. I was like, okay. I read that first and I was like, what? I don't know about that. Although it's, to be fair, the language that they spoke did not have homosexual or heterosexual. It was just sex, and sex with either gender was perfectly fine with them. So that's all fine and good, but it's like, don't go to the internet and expect to find anything that's truthful. You got to dig.
Especially if you're going to start with ChatGPT. Don't fucking do it. Anyway,
planning. So there you go.
Planning.
That's
planning. True chaos right now. I have to figure out the schedule for four more black books. Well, actually, three more black books after Outbreak gets published. So I know those are coming. I have to figure out when I'm publishing An Ancient Trap. I have to figure out when I'm going to finish up track 9. And then I have to figure out if what I'm going to do with Neptune Scars. Because if my voice doesn't recover, I'm going to have some serious issues recording an entire book again. And I know there's certain portions of An Ancient Trap I'm going to have to re-record because they were absolute shit. And I know that. So I got to find time to get that done. But there's a lot of things I have to pay for, like artwork and books being put together and things like that. And now we're in a crunch because there's a car that's dead. So plans are going to have to be a little bit movable, but there are a couple of deadlines that are not. So at this point, it's almost like I didn't want to put An Ancient Trap out any sooner than like 4 months from now. I just didn't want to do it, but I may have to accelerate that timeline quite a bit just to get that out there and see if I can't bring some more money in and, you know, get another book out there. But I counted them last night. I think I've got 7 books that are in various states of completion, either 100% complete, which is 3 of them, or 80% or higher at this point that I'm sitting on because of the way things worked. I mean, you got to remember, I wrote 2 black books without a publishing contract, so they were only podcast. So those just need a little love and attention. The other black book is probably about 80% done, Extinction, that is. And then I've got, you know, all this other stuff that I've been working on over time and chewing at it and everything else. And it's all starting to get to the completion point. So
once a book is complete, once it's complete, you've made your editing pass and you have your covers.
You assume.
Okay.
You're assuming I have covers right now. That's a big assumption.
Okay. So you have words. The words are done. The words are edited. And there is a process for getting covers and making sure your layout is, you know, copacetic. What's the minimum amount of time that you need? Because usually when you're planning stuff, you have the absolute minimum amount of time that you need. And then you have like the comfortable amount of time.
For cover and layout, I have to give at least a month and a half notice up front.
Okay.
And I'm trying to give as much as possible, like more like 3 months, because I know other people are extremely busy. And there are some things that I can do on my own, obviously, if I need to get there or if I can't afford to go forward or whatever, or somebody doesn't have time to do what I want done, it'll be half-assed compared to what I can get somebody else done. But maybe, what if I can just make the background and get somebody to do the text on the front of the book or knows titles better than I do? You know, how to make it pop better and how to make it look better for an ebook cover or something like that. Then yeah, I can get that done. That's not a problem.
Right.
It's more along the lines of this point of planning out how in installments am I going to pay for all this crazy shit. But I got to basically give a month and a half to 3 months notice on covers and layout, so we have the time for that. So I may be in a situation where I have to maybe cut a corner or so. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. Yeah, Pondy's still doing my covers. The Black series is just fucking phenomenal. I can't wait to see what Outbreak looks like. But you know, what if I need a cover for Neptune Scars? What if I need a cover for Gravity's Bane? What if I need a cover for Ancient Trap? What if I need a cover for track 9 when it's done? And then the next book in Gravity's Bane series. I mean, it's just a lot of shit I got to kind of plan for, and it all depends on when it gets completed. But I'm basically trunking novels at this point.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things that I always like to do is if I can get a lot of questions answered at once, and if I can send an email and say, all right, here's what I'm working with. Here would be the maximum amount of stuff that I need. What can you tell me that will help me plan? Do I need to just notify you? Because if you can set out a schedule of, all right, so it's going to take 12 weeks from notification to delivery for this one cover.
Right.
Then is it a case of where you have to stagger those? So you're only getting one cover every 3 months? Or is it a, notify, and then, you know, after 8 weeks, here's the bit, here's the start working on the next one, start working on the next one.
Yeah.
So it's that's one thing. And then what else can you do in the meanwhile? So
record
kind of
the audiobook.
Yeah. So there's doing the audiobook. There's the, there's other promotional stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things about Patreon is, and Buy Me a Coffee and Ko-Fi is that that's more or less the second or third draft. Mm-hmm. That money is keeping me alive because I'm not getting an advance for writing it, nor am I getting an advance for having recorded it. So basically, all that supports the podcast and pays me for those portions that would not get done otherwise. But then all that money has to somehow come back into, okay, I'm using all that money also for covers. I'm using that money for layout. I'm using that money for all those other things to run the business. So if you have a bad month and you may not have the money to do the things you had planned, and you know, with the Black Series not being out of print for as long as it was before we're getting everything back in, that was a lot of money that went out the door. So you know, taking your three most popular books off for sale is something I would not recommend, but has to be done when the rights change. You got to remove the old shit so it can't be sellable. So I basically have to put all the books out again. And the income is ramping up slowly again, but it's going to take a while to get back to where it was. And it's just a lot of different plannings. And folks, if you're dealing with a publisher and the rights are coming up for renewal or whatever, you really need to think about how you're going to approach the, you know, putting all that stuff together and have a plan, because once the books go out of print, they really go out of print. They go bye-bye. They go out of the store. So know what you're doing and when to do it.
Yeah.
I have no regrets personally. I just hate the fact that the money stopped flowing for as long as it did.
Yeah, the kind of a corollary to that is if you've done projects for royalty share and that 7 years comes up. Know what you're going to do before. You're like, yep, I'm good. I want to buy out the rest of the contract, or I want to do this. Okay. What are you going to do with the audio? How are you going to distribute it? Because it's all well and good to say, well, I want to go wide, but you don't want to not have the audio there.
Right. Yeah.
You want to be able to take it down and then within a couple days, push it out on those new channels.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, exactly. That's the other part of that whole deal with dealing with audiobooks is you have to decide when you're going to cut the cord with ACX Audible exclusivity. And then you got to wait for the books to get in through all, you know, draft to digital and get it distributed to everybody. And that could take up to a month and a half.
Yeah.
For some of those stores to get the books, not to mention libraries. So there's a serious time delay there. There really is. Dean asked, do I get the Derelict's rights back soon? No. Well, probably not. Probably not. Anything's possible. That's all I'm going to say. At this point in time, no. I will not be getting them back soon. So all this planning shit it comes over with, you know, what is nearest completion? You know, if you've got a whole bunch of books in progress, which one is the one that's ready to get the kicked out the door? When is its publishing? When are you going to plan on getting it to your editor? When are your betas going to get it? How long are they going to have it? You know, when do you need the artwork done? When do you need the layout done? Do you have the cover artist? Have you already talked to them? Have you scheduled your appointment with your editor? There's all this shit that has to happen if you're going to run your business like a true business and be a real publisher for your own stuff. There's just some things that have to get done. And there are corners you can cut. Sometimes you get away with it. Oftentimes you do not. So it's good to pay attention to, you know, all the things that are involved with this. And when you add audio into the mix or a podcast or video or any other of that crazy shit or extras, oh my God, you've just compounded everything.
You're adding a new product or new.
You're adding a new product. You're adding a new product. I mean, it takes me, you know, probably 25, 30 minutes to put a YouTube episode together now but it took it. That was with 5 hours of me getting things prepped. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that has to get done to make all the quote unquote magic look easy. And you can't get around that. The prep stuff that has to be done, and you have to plan to actually have the time for the prep, or you're going to not sleep and you're going to do a shitty job. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to work well. Yeah. That's my portion, my thoughts on it.
Well, another thing to keep in mind is all of these things you're talking about, they're sort of one-time things related to that immediate project.
Right.
They're also the other regularly scheduled things that go on in your business.
Correct.
So it's, you know, doing your monthly or weekly financials. It's taking care of, you know, your mailing list. It's keeping up with your patrons if you have Patreon. It's the regularly scheduled stuff that happens on a weekly or monthly that you're posting to your social media. All the stuff that I am crap at. And yeah. So it's making the time to do those things on a regular basis so that you stay top of mind. So that when you do finally release that new project, people like, ooh, that's shiny. I want to throw money at the creator and get that for myself. So then you're able to create more stuff.
Yeah, in a perfect world.
Over again.
In a perfect world. So Terry, you've got your process down, but you're cutting all the corners because you don't even publish your own shit anymore.
Well,
you've got people for that.
That's all fine and good. However... That is not all of the process that goes involved with this, because I still have to know how much time to schedule out for the editor.
Yeah.
I may not have to do the cover, but I could sit there and worry that the cover might not be ready in time for the book, because what happens then? You get the next book put out with a temporary cover. It's not the best thing in the universe, but it hasn't seemed to hurt me yet. But, you know, building a lead time into producing these future novels will help all of those things.
Yeah, that it sounds to me like your schedule just got a little bit too ambitious.
Fulfilling a book every 8 weeks is an ambitious goal.
It's more ambition than I've got, brother. That's crazy.
I'm responsible for too many other things. Why do people have to eat?
Yeah, why do people have to eat? Why do dogs need to be taken to the vet? Why do parents need things done for, like, be replacing vents on a 20-foot ladder? Oh, that was fun. I should not be doing that shit at 52.
No.
Anyway, that notwithstanding, that was before the car wreck. So we've all kind of given advice about the whole planning disaster and mess that is our jobs or portion of our jobs. I'm not very good at this. I'm getting better because I have to, but I suck at schedules. I don't like putting time dates on things because when stuff comes up, then it gets very, it makes me very anxious because everybody wants me to do 20 things at once. And I was raised in a horrible, horrible corporate culture of here's 50 things, get them done now. And then here's 100 more things to intersperse in those 50 things to get done. So I'm permanently damaged, but I've been able to focus on the books at least.
You were permanently damaged ahead of time.
Yeah, I've been permanently damaged a long time ago. Yeah, and totally ruined. But getting better at this, I got the plan. 2023 is going to be another horrible, awful, stressful year because it's already starting out that way. So I'm trying to get on... keep on top of it. So we just keep the books coming out. Cause if I do this right, then I will have 4 books a year for the next 2 to 3 years. And that's pretty goddamn big, especially when you're talking about finishing off one series, starting up a new series and getting a whole new genre going. So this will be a very crazy couple of years for me. That's the plan. Yeah. There you go. The life of a programmer and feature creeper in a muck. Yeah. Dot-coms, Enron, oil and gas industry, high tech, been through it all. Robots, doesn't matter. It's all the same shit. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Nobody knows how the fuck to spend money. They waste it on the shit they don't need to. They don't spend it on the stuff they do need to. They won't pay the money they need to attract competent personnel and then wonder why shit doesn't work and why nobody gets paid. But hey, they got their money out of it. It's just everybody did the work. It's fucked.
That's sounds like higher education.
Yeah, there's really no difference now. Just a bunch of pricks at the top fucking everybody else to make the money. That's the way it works. What's the new genre? I don't know what to call it yet. We talked about this. I can't decide if it's urban fantasy, cosmic urban fantasy. I don't know what the fuck to call this. What would you call Garaga, V? If you put it in modern day, what would you call it?
If it's modern day, it really is urban fantasy. But okay. it when you start to pull back, it almost reads like alternate history, like alternate historical fiction.
Yeah.
I mean,
the first two books. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So. But urban fantasy always makes me think of more contemporary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the new books will be contemporary.
Yeah.
They're going to be taking place in the same timeline as Garrus Inferno. So they'll be, well, that's not true. One of them will take place 20 years before, maybe it's 30 years. I can't remember. It'll take a long time before Garrus Inferno. Cause I never said when Colette's story took place. Did I? There's no date on it. There's no time on it.
No, there's there's no specific date. I mean, there's a.
You get the idea. You get the idea that it's modern days, but you can't put it down when. It could be that story could take place in the 80s, 90s, or 2000s.
Yes.
Pretty easily. So.
Yes.
That's as far back as I'm probably going to go for now. But there's also the French Revolution story. I got to fucking tell it at some point. I just have got to have the Marquis de Sade running around getting taught by succubi and all sorts of other crazy bullshit against the backdrop of the French Revolution coming on. Colette, French Revolution?
No. I'm hung up on Marquis de Sade. So
I saw Marquis de Sade and you checked out.
Equus, sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that I want to do there. And of course, there's all the other historical books I want to write. In addition to that, like the Crusades, Crusaders of Garaga and stuff like that, that I want to write. It's just, it takes so much time to do the research to write those suckers. I'll get there eventually, but there's these other things I need to get written now because I can churn them out pretty fast. And that's the plan. The plan anyway. Oh, there you go. What about aliens teaching Marquis de Sade? Now, this is how you do an anal probe. Okay, somebody was going to say it. Why am I the bad guy in this? Why am I the bad guy in this? Well, fine. If you've got a comment about this episode, this train wreck of an episode, you can send an email to show at debrobotsociety.com. You can find me on Mastodon at paul_e_cooley at vyrse.social. You can find us on Facebook at the listeners of the Deb Robot Society Facebook group, where Terry manages all the madness. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/drspodcast to see way too many cats and us. And the two of us will break your cameras, but you know, what are you going to do? I'll let you decide which two. I'm not going to say anything more than that. If you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/DRS podcast and buymeacoffee.com/DRS podcast, where for a little couple of bucks a month, you get access to exclusive content like our DRS After Dark, which is coming up in 10 minutes. It's where Terry gets hunkered down and shows off stuff. He and I are going to compare bruises. It's going to get exciting.
I totally wasn't intending on comparing bruises, but you know, I've got the Vaseline sitting right here.
There are certain things in my life I never needed to envision, and that was at least three of them.
I'm trying to remember what show had some guy talking about some guy covered in Vaseline that collected belly button lint or dryer lint or something.
What?
Huh? That would not... First of all, if he's collecting it, it's probably clinging to him all over the place.
It was a character played by Burt Reynolds. That's the only thing that I remember. But his character was covered in Vaseline, and he collected belly button lint or dryer lint or something. It was off the charts.
It was the 70s. There was a lot of coke getting done. A lot of coke. I have no idea. If you want, at the $10 name, at the $10 level at Patreon, you get your name read. And our $10 patrons are Tony L. Joy, Rickshaw, Lisa Slack, Isabel Cushy, and Tim Niederreiter. Thank you to all of our patrons who make this show possible and pay our lips and bills and, hopefully keep us on the air. And, you know, as always, if you're feeling kind, you can donate a little money here and there. Send a tip to buymeacoffee.com so I can hopefully get a car again. That'd be nice. Please help me. There's one more thing we got to do. We have a caffeine problem. There's no 12-step program that can hold us, baby. We are caffeine addicts, and we are proud of it. And we get our caffeine from CorpseCoffee.com. Visit CorpseCoffee.com. Check out their array of boutique teas, their wonderful coffees, and their weird webcomic. And tell them DRS sent you. Visit CorpseCoffee.com and get the dead in your cup. All right. I managed to pull that out.
I dropped a 60-second video link for Burt Reynolds in that character role into the live channel on Discord.
Yeah, I will not be looking at that because I'm afraid bad things are going to happen. Those of you on Patreon at buymeacoffee.com, we will see you in 8 minutes. The links are already get up there. Get ready for it. Here we go. We're going to get ugly, nasty. It's going to get down and dirty. I may take my shirt off and show you all my bruises.
Oh, good.
Bring your eye bleach. You'll need it.